Think back to middle school or high school biology class. Do you remember dissecting frogs? The smell, the feel, the guts? Maybe you had some moral reservations about having to do it or thought it was kind of yucky. Fewer kids are sharing that in that experience today, not because there's less dissection going on, but because more educators are turning to fake frogs and other animals. The synthetic versions are seen as more humane and an antidote for squeamish students. Some schools are even opting for digital dissections on screens or with virtual reality headsets. But are students being robbed of messy real-life science? Tonnell Hobbs is the national K-12 education reporter for the Wall Street Journal. Tonnell, welcome back to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, until I read your piece, this is news to me. I didn't know this was even a thing, these synthetic dissection animals. Tell us what's out there.
You know, the synthetic frogs, which are called syn frogs, S-Y-N frogs, as in synthetic, they rolled out and I guess they made their debut in November, but they are getting so much attention right now throughout the country. There are just some, you know, science teachers that feel like, well, you know, this kind of could address the animal welfare concerns. It could take out the ick factor of dissections, and it could also preserve real frogs. So there's all kind of arguments for doing it, and there's arguments now, to not do it, too.
Yeah, in writing this up, you talked to some teachers and some students. What kind of things did you hear from students who worked with these versus the real thing?
You know, the students really liked the synthetic frog, and really the reason why they liked it, because it didn't have that strong smell, you know, the formaldehyde smell. So they did like that. There was a couple of students that had never even dissected a real frog, so they thought it was cool anyway. But one of the students I talked to, in comparison of the two, she did like the fake frog because it didn't smell as bad.
Now, I was a terrible dissector. There was no hope for me with, I think, a real or fake frog. But you mentioned there's some opposition to this, a concern that if you're using these frogs that are always perfect, you don't get a sense of how messy and various life can be.
Exactly. And that's what some science teachers are saying. There's just no way they would use a synthetic frog because, you know, like they said, if it's synthetic, they're all the same, whereas a real frog, you know, they might have an extra limb or an extra lung, or there might be some, you know, eggs in there if it's a female. So they kind of like that there's so many differences with the real specimens.
Now, from a cost standpoint, is there, I have no clue on this, is there a big difference between real frogs and these new syn frogs?
Yes, and see, the syn frogs, and that's another issue, the syn frogs cost $150. But they let you, there's some kind of plan where you can recycle up to five times or something like that. Or the ones included in the 150 is like five times the recycle, which it averages about $25 a frog, I guess. But the real specimen, they average about $8 to $10. So it is cheaper. But like I said, schools or teachers that are interested in going to the synthetic frogs, it's more than just money they're looking at.
And you also talked to some animal rights groups. They're, I'm guessing, pretty happy with this. What kind of things did they have to say?
Oh, well, they are so happy. They are so happy with it. PETA, actually, they help. They're one of the funding partners of the synthetic frog. But, you know, they just like the part that, you know, it helps reserve the real frogs, the ones in the wild and the ones who are, you know, lab bred. And even, like, this the main synthetic lab that's doing these things, they're actually even doing synthetic cats, too, called copycats. So for schools that actually do dissections of, you know, cadaver cats, they can, you know, get the synthetic ones now.
Talking to Tonnell Hobbs with the Wall Street Journal. She reports on education around the country there, looking at a high school rite of passage or junior high biology class, maybe dissection. But now there are fake frogs, synthetic frogs, and other animals that some classes are turning to. And Tonnell, in the piece that you wrote, some people talk about, hey, you know, medical schools are even doing this to supplement their dissections of cadavers. There are apparently synthetic humans they're using for medical school.
They are. That's not even uncommon anymore for them to use the synthetic human cadavers now. And I think that's what really kind of got the interest with some of the school teachers, because they knew this was going on in medical school. So they're like, why can't we, you know, have synthetic frogs and synthetic cats. So there's a lot of interest on this, like I said, throughout the country, but there's also a lot of debate.
Now, some schools allow students to opt out of dissection. In fact, less than a year ago here in Wisconsin, the Madison School District told teachers they had to provide an equally educational alternative for those students. Is this something, Tonnell, that you've seen other schools or districts wrestling with? What do we do when a student doesn't want to do this dissection that's part of the syllabus?
Yes, there's probably about 18 states that allow opt-outs. And what some school districts are doing, and in some states it's required, that if a student doesn't want to dissect, you know, a dead animal or frog, that you have to provide an alternative assignment. So that is going on. But, you know, I talked to a principal in Florida that they're using that synthetic frog, and she said usually they have students that will opt out, and the last time they dissected the synthetic frog, there were no opt-outs.
You talked to one, I think it was a biology teacher, who got creative with his sourcing for dissections and used, I think it was roadkill in his class?
Yes, yes. This teacher, he's in Colorado, and he actually does use roadkill. They dissect the roadkill, and then they do like a skeleton reconstruction of the roadkill. So for him, he said that synthetic, anything would definitely not work out. They actually dissect fish, and then after the dissection, they fillet the fish and cook it. So in his case,
no formaldehyde there, I'm guessing.
No. So he's really definitely not supportive of the synthetic of frogs and animals.
One concern you heard from some teachers is that the students wouldn't take a fake frog as seriously as the real thing. What were some of the concerns there?
Yeah, that's what they felt. You know, I talked to a science teacher in Baltimore City, and he felt like his kids would not have, they would not have taken it seriously, and that they probably would have just started throwing the frog around because it's not real. You know, there was a situation in a school where they had they were dissecting some owl pellets, and the kids were very excited. This was in North Carolina. They were excited, and when the teacher handed out the owl pellets, come to find out they were synthetic, and the kids quickly lost interest. So there are some kids that still want the real thing.
All right, I'm trying to figure out what's the market for synthetic owl pellets. Like, why does that exist in the first place?
Well, you know, because it's how owls digesting. You could actually, if you look at their pellets, you could look for bones,
right,
or just other signs of what they've eaten.
I get that for the real thing. I don't know why you need to fake that one. But okay, more power to them. So does this, Tonnell, does this look like a growth industry, the synthetic animals, frogs, and as you said, other species for dissection in classrooms? Do you see this as something that probably more and more schools are going to at least consider?
I definitely do. Since I wrote that story, I've had so many school districts call me just, hey, you know, can we get a contact for Syndavr? That's the company. Or, you know, they just want more information about it. And the only question, obviously, is the cost, because at $150 a frog, even with recycling, you know, some schools are really struggling and they can't afford that. But I have heard a lot of interest in Syndavr, the company that makes the frog. They strongly feel that this is going to be the new way to go, that more and more schools will just start using the synthetic frogs and animals instead of the real thing.
Bringing this to a more fundamental level, Tonnell, it seems like there is an agreement, whether people like the synthetic animals or not, there is agreement about the value of dissection exercises to learn about biology. Across the board, I'm guessing that a lot of the teachers were on board with that, it sounds like.
Across the board, they are on board with that, definitely. You know, but it was interesting in doing this story because there's the teachers who just are really against banning the dissection of, you know, dead frogs or, you know, animals. I really heard from them the loudest. I mean, they, you know, they feel, well, actually, the ones heard from the loudest are the ones who are totally against dissection or anything. But there are a growing number of teachers who are speaking up because they are scared that more schools are going to really start banning the dissection of animals and frogs.
Tonnell, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome.
Tonnell Hobbs is the national K-12 education reporter at the Wall Street Journal. We talked to her today about the debate over whether to have high school students dissect real frogs and other animals or these new on the market synthetic versions of animals made specifically for dissection in class. Love to hear your story. If you have a memory of dissections back in your own biology class days, or maybe you refused to do it for one reason or another, concern for animals or squeamishness. And for the biology teachers out there, love to hear from you, especially if you've given these fake frogs, for example, a try. You can tweet us at Central Time WPR or email ideas@WPR.org. Love to hear your stories.